who only take care of themselves.
Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat your curds, clothe yourself with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You do not strengthen the weak or heal the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wander over the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. God refers to the rulers in Israel as shepherds. These are the ones that God had given power and authority to take care of the others. The sheep in this passage are the people of Israel, those who need looking after. And here we see they are abused and neglected. What I want us to understand about power this morning is that this is an issue that is important to God, so it's an issue that needs to be important to us as well. Now, power and authority are everywhere, and they affect every area of our lives. There's no place that you can go where you escape the influence of power and authority. And yet, many people don't know how to handle power and authority. They don't know how to handle it when they have it. They don't know how to respond to it when it is, acted out in their presence. Most people with power and authority tend to be motivated by selfishness. And so we can look around in our world today and we see abuse of authority. People who want to be in charge and control everything. People who want everyone to know that they're the ones that pull the strings. People who make others kiss up to them. People who want to feel important by putting other people down. And when we talk about this kind of abuse of authority, we find it in politics, both in high government offices and in local government offices right here in Zephyr Hills. We find it in mobile home parks and in neighborhood associations. We find an abuse of power in the schools, not only with teachers, but with students as well. Yes, we even find it in our churches. And you think you can go home and hide? No. Even abuse of power can be found in our local and individual homes. You see, the people who have been given power and authority somehow allow it to go to their heads. And instead of helping others and working for the good for others, they look for a way to control others and to gain things for themselves. For the next few minutes this morning, we want to hope to answer a couple questions by the end of this message. Are we powerless? If we have power and authority, how does God expect us to use it? How should we treat those who have been given power and authority over us? And what is God's view on power and the responsibility associated with it? This is the issue we want to tackle today. I want to invite you to get your note-taking guide, maybe open your Bible, get a pen ready, and let's notice this, because if this issue is important to God, it needs to be important to us.
The first concept we want to talk to you about this morning is respect for power or authority. Now, I think that we would all agree this morning that all power, all dominion, all authority belongs to God. I mean, after all, He's the one who is ultimately in control of everything. All power belongs to Him. And yet we see in Scripture that God chooses to take some of His power and to bestow it upon us, to entrust His power to us to rule and to govern and to serve according to His wishes. We go all the way back to the book of Genesis. If you have your Bibles, you want to open to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.'" That was God giving His authority and His power to mankind, to them, man and woman, to rule over all of the earth. In Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, this concept carries right through to the New Testament. This is what Jesus said. This is at the end of Jesus' ministry. Remember when he was getting ready to leave. This is what he says, the commission he gives to his disciples. He says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So Jesus is saying, all that authority that belongs to God, all that power, all that belongs to Jesus himself. And then he says this, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What Jesus is saying here is that all authority belongs to him. But he says, I want you to go in my name. Do you know what it means when we do something in his name? It means we're doing it by his authority and at his command. That his authority and his power has been given to us and that we are acting on his behalf. In I think it's in 2 Corinthians, it says that we are Christ's ambassadors. We are the ones who represent him on earth and we take his power and his authority with us. And so as we begin to examine this whole idea of respect for authority, the very first place we need to go is the power and authority that has been entrusted to us. There's a power that we have, and we should have a profound respect for that power and authority that has been given to us by God and also by other people. We need to respect that authority. So it, maybe you're working a job, or you did work a job at one time, or maybe you have a responsibility as a volunteer in an organization, or maybe a volunteer within the church. Or maybe you're a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, a friend, someone who has power to influence future generations. We need to have respect for that authority and that power that has been placed in our hands. And showing respect for that authority means that we work hard and with diligence, that we do our very best at all times. In fact, we don't do things to cut corners. We are always working hard and working our best at whatever job it is we've been given to do, whether it's something we're paid for or something not, because we realize that that power and that authority to do that has come from God. In fact, this is what Paul says in Colossians 3:23. He says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not men. Because we are working for the Lord, not men, right? A person may have given you your job, a person may have given you your responsibility, but God alone is the one who is the author of all authority and all power. So ultimately, he has given that to you. And so we work not for the pleasure of the person who may have had the title and given us a job, but for the one who ultimately gave us that responsibility, and that is God. And so we should never take our power or our authority lightly. We should never be shirking our responsibilities. And I believe this morning that most of us are very conscientious about that. I've watched some of you work. I saw how some of you worked yesterday just as volunteers helping to clean the church. That you worked so hard. In fact, all of us were really sweaty when we were done. We were just hot and sweaty and a mess because we were conscientious about that. We realize when a job's been given to us, we're going to do our very best at it no matter what. But there's a flip side to this. Because while we talk about respecting the power and authority that God has entrusted to us, the flip side is having a respect for the power and authority of others. This is where it gets a little bit harder. What do we do and how do we respond when other people are in charge and we have to do what they say? I know this is a problem in the early church. In fact, they were under a governmental system where they had emperors who just laid down the law and you had to obey. This is what Paul said in Romans chapter 13. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn there. Romans 13, 1 to 2 and 5 to 7. He says, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, than honor. And you notice what Paul is saying there, that all authorities have been established by God, whether it's government or parents or teachers or police or even church leaders. In fact, let me share with you a couple other verses, and you have the references there in your notes. Hebrews 13:17, the author of Hebrews writes, "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you." 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13, Paul writes, he says, "Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work." So here he's talking about respect, and that we are supposed to respect those who are placed in authority over us. And I want to make clear this morning that the respect is for the position. I often hear people say, well, respect is earned, and I'm not going to give respect unless it's earned. Could you imagine, think of your kids. If your kids were 7, 8, 9, 10, and they came up to you and said, "Sorry, Dad, respect is earned. I'm not going to give you respect unless you earn it." Oh, we would be pretty taken aback, wouldn't we? Or our policeman. The policeman pulls us over and we say, "Sorry, respect is earned." You know, and we treated them in a bad way. Or a boss at a job, and we walk in on the first day of work and we just tell them, "Sorry, respect is earned." Respect may be earned, but sometimes there's respect by virtue of the position that someone has. Respecting someone doesn't mean you always agree. I mean, you can disagree and yet still respect the office. And one of the illustrations that comes to my mind is David. Do you remember King David before he became king, when he was hunted down by Saul? I mean, ruthlessly pursued, Saul was trying to kill him. And on two different opportunities, David had the opportunity to take Saul's life and put an end to all of it. David had already been anointed by God as king. He knew he was going to take over Saul's place. And yet, do you remember what he said when he had that opportunity? He said, "I could not lift my hand against the Lord's anointed." David had respect for the position. Saul was in the position of being king, and he was going to treat him respectfully no matter what. He respected the God-instituted authority over him. And this is kind of characteristic of David's life. You'll remember a little bit later, when David finally became king, that there was a time when Nathan the prophet came to him and exposed David's sin. Remember, he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And Nathan came and exposed it. David was king now. He could have told Nathan, "Well, just get out of here. I'm the king. I can do whatever I want." He could have had Nathan arrested. But he had respect for the God granted authority and power that Nathan had over him as a prophet in the Lord. And so he submitted and he repented. And we see that all through David's life, that was the habit of his life. That's why he was known as a man after God's own heart, wasn't it? Because he had that ability that even when he had power, he respected the power of others over him. And I believe that God expects us to respect authority and power that's been placed over us. Now, I understand that we obey God over and above men. So we don't blindly follow others, and we don't do something. If our government were to come out with a rule saying, or a law saying that we couldn't meet together to worship, you know, denying our rights, we would probably do it anyway. Because we come to the point where we say, well, we obey God rather than man. But by that same token, there is a sense that we do respect the authorities over us. That means sometimes we swallow our pride and we submit to their leadership and we show humility and respect. So the question I have this morning is, how are we doing in this area? Because if we have respect for the authorities over us, it influences how we respond to that police officer who pulls us over because he thinks that we were speeding. It influences how we respond to our doctor's advice when he tells us one more time, "You just need to lose 30 pounds. It affects how we talk about our government leaders. Now listen, we don't call them by derogatory names like Tricky Dick or Slick Willie. You know, we might dislike their policies, but we respect their position, and we need to be respectful in the way that we address them. We need to give respect, and we need to teach it. We need to teach it to our kids and our grandkids and our friends and those around us. And I really believe it starts in the home, and it starts with teaching children how to say please and thank you. Teaching them to call people by Mr. and Mrs. and to show respect in the way they treat adults and parents and teachers. I remember when our kids were growing up, we always insisted that they call everybody by Mr. and Mrs. No first names, or an aunt, or it might be an Aunt Barb or an Uncle so-and-so, but never to just call someone by their first name. And I remember teaching them, specifically telling them, you need to learn to respect and obey your parents if you're ever going to respect and obey the Lord. And hopefully we taught them throughout life that every authority that's over you, whether it's a human being or whether it's God himself, there needs to be a certain amount of respect. And I see that has eroded so much today. Do you realize that there are so many times when children get in trouble at school? I know that if I knew when I was growing up, if I got in trouble at school and I came home, and you knew this too, didn't you? You go home, you were in more trouble when you got home. Do you know what happens today, don't you? The parents then turn around and sue the school for treating their child harshly. They even side with their kids above the police officers. You see, they have no respect. People today have no respect for others in positions of authority, and they pass that down to their children. It all starts there. You see, society, as God intended it, only works when we give those in leadership, those who have been entrusted with power and authority, the respect they deserve, because God has entrusted that authority to them. It all comes from Him, and so we should respond with respect for power and authority.
That's the positive side. God gives authority. We need to respect that authority as we exercise it and as it's exercised against us. The second thing I want us to notice in our sermon outline is the abuse of power and authority. Now, the Bible has a great deal to say about abuse and misuse of power and authority. Now, this kind of abuse can take many different forms. It's using power to deprive others of their rights. It's using power to bully or harass. It's using power to gain unfair advantage. It's using power to suppress information. It's using power to control ideas. It's using power to line your own pockets. And the list could go on and on of the abuse and misuse of the power or the position that you have. It's easy to see this type of abuse of power in the world around us. We see it in politics. If you go to New York City, they are banning 20-ounce Cokes. You have to drink a bunch of little glasses. But you know why, don't you? Now say it with me, you're just too fat. Huh? We see in politics the abuse of power when they try to scare voters or seniors with the threat of taking away Social Security. That's an abuse of power. We find them in schools when bullies tease and hurt smaller or other children. We find it in churches when church members stop giving or stop serving unless things go their way. We even find it within the home, parents abusing their children and putting them down, husbands beating or belittling their wives. There are many examples in the Bible of people abusing the power and the position that God has put them in. Pastor Patty already mentioned King Saul and David. King Saul began to abuse his power by not listening to the prophet, and he did his own offerings instead of waiting. He took spoils of war instead of leaving them all there. You heard how King Saul misused his power when he tried to kill David, the Lord's other anointed. We see in the Old Testament Eli, the prophet's sons, who mocked God and God's word by making a mockery of the priesthood in abusing their power and position there. And Jesus brings it to the attention of his very own disciples because they wanted to grab some of that power so they could flex their own muscles. In Mark chapter 10, verses 42 to 45, Jesus draws their attention and says, "Don't abuse power." This is what he says. Jesus called his disciples together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus makes it clear to his disciples that we should not abuse the power and the authority that we have. We should not lord over people with our power. Jesus points out that's the world's view of power, where he uses here the Gentiles' idea of what power is. It's selfish and it's demanding. It thinks of the person with the power first instead of the people they are serving. And that view of power will always lead to abuse. Jesus instead tells his disciples that the proper view of power and authority is one of service. This view of serving others, given power that we might serve, will always lead to a healthy community and the advancement of others. And so Jesus talks a great deal about do not abuse your position, your power, or your authority. And so we have these two views. We have power that needs to be respected and that can be used for good, or power that can be abused and misused and it becomes evil and destructive. Now you would think that that's the only two issues that we can talk about. But if you notice in your outline, there's a third thing. Because there's one more important concept we need to consider this morning. It's important because I think most people have a fallback position when it comes to the issue of power and authority. It's not use it or abuse it, it's this other position. And it's this other position that Jesus said, when he talked about it, he said it's wicked. Right? Are you ready? Let's take a look at that last one together.
Number three is the neglect of power or authority. Let me read you a parable in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 19, and then I'll pick up verses 24 to 30. Again, if you're following along your Bibles, it's Matthew 25. This is known as the parable of the talents. Jesus says this, "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money." Talent was a unit of measure of money. So it's not talking about our talents of singing or working. It is a sum of money. It says, "To another 2 talents and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them." And you skip down to verse 24. It says, "Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. 'Master,' he said, 'I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you.' His master replied, 'You wicked, lazy servant.'" And then in verse 30, it says that he told the people to throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, some things I want you to notice about this parable is that the authority and the power belong to the master. This man who went away on the journey, all power and authority belonged to him, and he entrusted something to his servants. He expected them to take the power that he was giving them in the form of money and the ability to use it, and he expected them to take it and to use it for the good of the master. It was meant not to please them. It was meant to please the master. It wasn't for them to take and do what they wanted so that they would gain power and they would gain prestige or honor, but so something would be done for the master. It was for his good and to please him. And this is a parable for us of how God entrusts things to us, whether it's power and authority seen through our treasures and our talents and the other responsibilities that we have, that God gives that to us, and we are to use it not for our own good, but we are to use it for his good and for his purposes and to make him happy, to please him. And so what we see happening in this parable is the one man who took what God had given him, that power and that authority and that ability to do something, and he hid it in the ground and did absolutely nothing. And it comes to the end, and the master says that this man is wicked and is thrown outside into the darkness. In Luke chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus said, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." He says, if he's given something to us, then he expects something from us. This has come down to us modern day in the quote, "With great power comes great responsibility." When God has given us power and authority, there's a great responsibility that goes with that to do something. Another quote you might be familiar with from Edmund Burke says, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." Right? If we want evil, all we have to do is do nothing at all and just sit back and shirk our responsibility. James put it this way in James 4:17. He says, "Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins." Now, isn't that amazing? We tend to think of sin as something we do, right? So if I smoke, if I drink, if I swear, we have this whole long list of all the wrong things. And we think if we don't do anything, then we're pretty righteous and pretty holy. But he says, if you know that there's good you're supposed to do and you fail to do it, that neglect of following through on that responsibility, that, James says, is sin. So there is authority that has been trusted to us and power that's been entrusted to us. And it's supposed to be used for his good and to fulfill his causes and his purposes. So I got thinking about some of the ways that people today neglect that power and authority. We see it when a social worker doesn't step in to take a child out of an abusive situation. We see neglect of authority when a policeman turns a blind eye to domestic violence. We see it when powerful governments refuse to acknowledge human rights abuses or genocide in other countries. We see it when parents fail to discipline their children. We see this neglect of power when citizens don't vote for candidates who uphold godly principles. We see it when Christians don't speak up to tell a dying friend about Jesus. Those are all times when we take the God-given authority and the power that's been given to us and we neglect it. You see, it's been given to us to multiply what belongs to God. It's to please him and to do what is good in his eyes, what will advance his purposes. Power is never about what it will gain for us. It's always about him. And that's why he says it is sinful and wicked to neglect it. It's been given to us for a purpose, and God expects us to use it.
So this idea of power and authority, it's important to God, and therefore it needs to be important to us. Jesus said that all authority and power is his, and he gives it to us. You need to understand this. I'm not talking about holding an office in politics, but I need you to understand that power and authority is granted by the position you hold. Think about that. It's granted by the position you hold. So if you are president, you have power and authority by that position. A policeman, by that position. A parent, because you are a parent, by that position. As pastor, by that position. It's the position that we are given that holds with it the power and authority. So this is what I want you to know. When you come to Jesus Christ and accept him as Lord and Savior and allow him to wash your sins away, he gives you a new position. We call it Christian. It's referred to as we are now children of God, the redeemed, royal priesthood, joint heirs with Christ. In this new position he gives us as Christians, in that position there is power and authority. So everything we've been talking about, I don't want you to get lost in all the politics and all these things. In your position as a child of the King, you have power and authority. God expects you to exercise it and to use it. The Bible tells us in this position as children of God, we have power over sin in our personal lives. It says we have power over Satan, where we can say, "Satan, get thee behind me." We have the power to say no to temptation and yes to obedience to God. We have the power to change the world around us by using our God-given talents and God-given treasures and time and temperaments and testimony of God's grace and glory in our lives. You see, as Christian, by holding that position, God gives power and authority. So everything we've been talking about today, we need to understand that it's your position that gives you the power and authority. As Christians here in the United States, we hold another position. It's called citizen. In that position as a citizen, we are given a power that is granted to us. We have the power to vote. We have the power to serve in our communities. We have the power to speak up. In October, we are giving you the power to pray every day and join a million prayer partners in praying for our country. You see, it's by the position that we hold as citizens in the United States of America. The truth be told this morning, God has granted each of us many positions. And so He's granted each of us power. If you are married, God has granted you a position in a relationship. You are a spouse to someone. In that position, there's a great deal of power. If you are a grandparent, that's a position not to be held lightly. You have a great deal of influence and power and authority, not only over your own children, but of your grandchildren. If you live near somebody, you have the position of a neighbor. And the Bible talks about who is my neighbor. And it talks about by that position of a neighbor, the power and the responsibility we have in serving those around us. You may have the position of a friend or an employee, and the list goes on and on and on. But as God puts each and every one of us into these positions, that position carries with it power and authority to serve Him. Don't think it's just a paid position or a political position. When God puts us in a place or in a position, He gives us in that position power and authority to serve Him. Power and authority to make a difference where we are for all eternity. But you need to understand this morning is you have power. Power and authority that has been granted to you by God by the very positions you hold in your life. What do we need to do with that power and authority? We need to respect it. Don't abuse it. Don't neglect it. But use it for His honor and glory. Because we need to remember that this power and authority is important to God, and therefore it should be important to us. Take just a moment. What positions do you hold in your life? And are you exercising the power and authority in that position to bring honor and glory to God? Let's pray together, shall we? Father, once again, we just want to take a moment and pause in Your presence. Lord, to ask Your Holy Spirit to speak to us more clearly about this issue of power and authority. Father, I pray that You will help us to understand the position You have put us in, and the power and the authority that comes in those positions, and how we might exercise it to bring glory and honor to Your name. Father, I pray we would never abuse our position and our power. Father, I also pray that we wouldn't neglect it, thinking, it's not worth it. Let someone else do it. But Father, I pray that we would have a high respect for where You place us and for what You ask us to do. Father, speak to our hearts. Help us to be faithful servants. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.